the political world is buzzing about Democratic candidate for governor John Gregg and a comment that he made this afternoon. As you all know, we're in a drought, and the drought has hurt our farmers very seriously, not just here in the state of Indiana, but I think in most parts of the Midwest and the South and some parts of the West. This drought has been very, very damaging to our farmers. The Congress in Washington, the Senate, passed a farm bill. But they couldn't move on it because the House, controlled by Republicans, could not come to an agreement on a farm bill. And in a farm bill, it provides help and support for our farmers when they need help. And it also provides, funding for food stamps and other food programs that help folks in cities like Indianapolis. And the Republican leadership in Congress wanted to reduce those programs for food aid and food stamps in the cities. And the legislators in the city said, wait a minute, if y'all do that, I'm going to have to cut back on the farmers. And so there was an impasse. And so John Gregg today, talking about the problem with the farm bill, reminded people that his opponent for governor, Mike Pence, is a member of the United States Congress and who should have dealt with the farm bill. He's part of the leadership of the Republicans in the House. Now, this is the light where we shine the light on the word and the music, and this is a G-rated program. So I cannot say the three-letter word that John Gregg used to say what Mike Pence needed to do, but I will use the longer word. And to paraphrase it, John Gregg said that Mike Pence needs to get his behind back to Washington and deal with the farm bill. Now, I say all that in the context of it has been 65 hours and 40 minutes since the mayor of Indianapolis introduced his 2013 budget at the city-county meeting on Monday. As of right now, that budget has not been made available online on the city's website. And I'm about to hear whether the president of the City County Council and members of the majority of the City County Council have received that detailed budget. So I know President Maggie Lewis is the kind of upstanding, God-fearing woman that would not use the kind of language that John Gregg used. But I can say that it's time the mayor should not be in China. Why is he in China? I ain't talking about China, Indiana. I'm talking about China, the country. He needs to get his behind back here to deal with the budget crisis. Oh, and those of you on the 25th floor that got the overpaid raise that you shouldn't have gotten, and your job is to monitor this show, I said behind, B-E-H-I-N-D. I don't want you to mischaracterize what I said. See, y'all be telling the mayor that I said something else that I did not say. But clearly, he needs to get on the first airplane smoking from Beijing, Shanghai, Wangchung, or wherever he is in China, and bring his behind back here and demand to know why his budget has not been made public, why we're not having a grand debate and dialogue on how to make sure our police officers get paid. We reduce a $65 million deficit, and we move forward with that. We introduce the president of the City County Council, Maggie Lewis, also here as City County Councilor Joe Simpson. Guys, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I went to the website. It's not there. I assume you all have the detailed budget with the spreadsheets and the comparisons. Is that correct?
That is incorrect.
That is not correct?
No, sir. It's my understanding that that information will be available and posted on Monday afternoon.
A whole week after the mayor introduced it?
Yes, sir. But I do believe what's available on his website is the PowerPoint presentation.
I looked at that. It didn't tell you anything.
Well, I'm just sharing information, Mr. Brown.
All right.
That is posted on the mayor's website, but then also on the City County Council's website, we do have the proposal posted 285 that gives the details of the agency's budgets. And so that is posted on our website.
Let me go to from the council majority. First of all, what are members of the council hearing on both sides of the aisle reaction of the citizens of Indianapolis and Marion County to what little they've heard and seen and read about this proposed budget?
Before we even get to the details of the budget, you know, we did hear an outcry from people in our community about those raises. People were very disappointed on both sides of the aisles. I've received comments, emails, calls from Democrats and Republicans about those raises, and they were very disappointed and hurt that in this the state of the city that they were allowed to get those types of raises. And so that was the biggest concern. Mm-hmm. And then also knowing that the morale of our police officers are so low, and to think that it's possible that they will not be able to get those raises, they're concerned about that as well. They feel like our officers deserve those raises, and why are we trying to balance the budgets on the back of our officers? And so that was a major concern as well. And then the last thing is the homestead credit. Getting rid of that, what does that really do to the average homeowner?
One of the things in the mayor's remarks to the council, he talked about the increased cost of pensions and the increased cost of medical insurance.
Yes.
Do you all at the council know whether the city, whether this administration was aggressive in working with their insurance coverage, their insurance carrier, to either keep the rate of increase as low as possible, to institute wellness programs with city county employees, all these little things that companies mm-hmm. now make you do that reduces the rate of health, you know, the cost of health insurance, or even explore having city county employees pay a little bit more of their share of their health insurance?
Yes. I believe it was 2 years ago that we did take a look at our insurance and trying to ensure that we are doing everything that we can to drive down costs. I was not in the majority then, but I do remember those conversations taking place, specifically in the admin and finance committee. Mm-hmm. Then at one point, all the employees were notified that if your spouse carries insurance, that you would have to take a look at their insurance, and then you would have to come off the county insurance. And so they were doing things to drive down that cost. But I do believe in this budget, we're looking at a 7% increase for health insurance and 3% increase for PERF, which is the pension plan.
7%?
For health insurance.
That's awful strong.
It is very strong, yes.
That's why I'm wondering, what did they, it seem to me, before you go to 7%, the mayor ought to pick up a phone. Who does have the insurance? Is it Advantage? Is it Anthem?
It is Advantage, yes.
I'd have picked up the phone and said, now look, Advantage, you know, we love you. We love the ads you got on TV, but doggone it. You know, I'll call Anthem. I'll call United Healthcare. You know, I'll call, you know, insurance by phone before it's, because this, you know, I think what the Democrats are, what you all are talking about is everything's on the table.
Yes, absolutely.
You may have questions about for the president of the city council about the budget, what you've heard, the opportunity to get some questions answered. 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. Any thought given, President Lewis, Councilor Simpson, you know, a lot of times in this town, if we have a major crisis, they pull together some of the best and brightest minds in the community to help come up with solutions. Are we at something where the best and brightest minds in the city need to come, you know, pour over this budget and see, you know, what kind of structural things need to be done to be able to provide great services at a reduced cost? Because this problem is not going away.
That's right. It's not going away. And so once the budget is available to the community, one, I'm going to ask everyone to take the opportunity to review mm-hmm. that budget. I have had offers from several individuals throughout the community, some of the smartest folks I know, that are willing to sit down with my colleagues and I to ensure that we do not miss anything at that budget. But then also, I encourage folks from the community to attend those committee meetings. This is their opportunity to come and express what are the priorities for them? What is it going to take to ensure that their quality of life is not negatively impacted by this budget? And so I'm encouraging everyone to come out and really be involved in this budget process and share your concerns with my colleagues and I. And we're human. We make mistakes and we miss stuff. But if everyone is really committed to this budget and this budget process, I encourage them to come out and show up and show out.
Amos.
Yeah, go ahead.
There are several issues that the Democrat majority of the council have with the city One is that we haven't seen a financial statement.
And that's like a quarterly indication of how we're doing.
By law, I think there are three reports that should have came to the Rules and Policy Committee that they get to look and we all get to look at. I've been on the council since January of this year. We've been told several times they're coming. They had a new fiscal system and the system is not producing. And now we're at the budget time and there are still no financial statements. You know, it's impossible for us to take part in a budget process when you don't know what's happening in the past. And that's a real issue for us right now. It's like only thing we have to compare is what they had last year budget and maybe the audit. And we are very thrilled, as Madam President just got through saying, that there are a lot of people, and we're looking to put together a team of just what you're talking about of people once we get all the information. But right now, it's one of those deals where if we approve this budget, then it's going to be our problem. We approve it. It's our issues, our problem. And the problem I'm having is that the mayor has been in office 4 years. How did he end up with a $65 million deficit? Someone wasn't keeping up with the expenses over revenues. Revenues had to been dropping off. And they knew that the tax cap was coming. And for them to sit there to say it's $65 million, I question that, even though I think it's greater than that, because they plugged $40 million in it last year from the TIF. So that tells me, you know, who knows? I think it's a moving target, but it's going to be an issue in which we're going to have to take our time. And as I told Madam President, we just can't rush this because I think the citizens are looking to us, since we're the majority, to balance that budget and to force the city to come up with a reduction plan over the next 3 years before he get out of office, because he's not going to come back next year and say, oh, we're covering the deficit again, you know, another $65 million, another $7 million. This is not how businesses are run, and he's going to have to show us some reduction in expenses to get this done. And like Madam President and all of us out there in the community, we don't want public safety to have to suffer. But at some point, somebody's got to take a serious look at this, just like you say, and say, what's up, you know?
239-1310, 239-1310 is Absolute News. Name is on the police and fire. When their contract was negotiated, it did have a clause that said if revenues drop, that's an opportunity to relook at that. Have you talked to the head of the firefighters unit, to the head of FOP? Have they even reached out to you to just try to get a sense of where you and the Democrats are coming from?
Yes, I did have the opportunity to meet with members of the FOP, and they are concerned about those raises. And not that they do not want to have a conversation and they understand revenue loss. They also know that the officers are, their budget is already scrapped. We do know that morale is down. They don't have the supplies that they need. There's a lot of issues.
That's not an urban legend. That's for real?
That's for real. Yeah. And I met with them this week, and I was really concerned about some of the information that they shared with me. And I know that the FOP is working closely with the administration, but our officers risk their life every single day so that we can lay our heads down at night and feel safe. But yet, you know, they do not have their basic supplies, and so that concerns me.
One of the things that's confusing, and because the city has not released the detailed budget so you can compare how much was spent over the previous years, how much is supposed to be spent this year, how much has already been spent, what they want to propose to spend. As I understand it, last year's budget authorized a certain number of full-time sworn police officers. Mm-hmm. And right now, we're 100 less than that number.
Yes.
That's correct.
That's correct.
So there was money allocated in this year's budget to cover those 100 extra police officers. Is that right? I mean, my common sense budgeting says if you authorize 100 employees and you only have 90, you have on paper in your budget money for 100 employees, those extra 10 that you don't have right now. That's what I was trained as a manager. Mm-hmm. Isn't that how it's supposed to work?
That is exactly true. And then also keep in mind that we're going to constantly lose officers as they retire, mm-hmm. and then there's not going to be a recruit class on top of that. And so that number, as far as missing officers, is going to continue to go up.
Yeah, but that just shows you how bad – the situation, that deficit is that they can't even afford to bring back 100 officers. That tells you, Amos, your bank account or anybody's bank account out there that, you know, if you can't reproduce what you did the following year, that means that something is eating a hole in that in our system, and they need to be forthcoming with what the situation is, because before the Democrats pass this budget, we're going to know everything about it.
239-1310 is Afternoon's name. I'm still trying to get a handle. So
it's paper.
As you, the paper and a whole lot of other things. Is one of the things in the what few documents have been made public, mm-hmm. it shows in this fiscal ordinance, which is the actual law that appropriates money mm-hmm. for next year, they list the salary scales for city employees at certain grades, and this is more for the permanent employee mm-hmm. staff of city and county agencies. Is one of the issues that need to be raised, whether there needs to be a temporary salary rollbacks on higher paid city employees, perhaps city employees that are paid more than $60,000 a year, maybe take a 3-5% temporary cutback. What, you know, should somebody run the numbers to see how much savings that might be? Not people at the lowest rungs of city employees, but those that may be $60,000 or $70,000 or more.
It goes back once again to, I think, what we're attempting to do, and that is try to force the city to come up with a plan of how are you going to reduce this deficit rather than plugging it every year, last year, this year. It goes to the heart of just what you say. That's got to be a master plan of how you plan on reducing the next 2 years, the next 3 years of getting rid of this deficit, because just because we're plugging it this year doesn't mean it's not going to come back next year. You know, they got to come up with another 100. It may be 100 million next year. But the point is, we got to stop the bleeding, and mm-hmm. the bleeding is taking place. That's one option. There are many options, Amos. The option is we may have to go back to the taxpayer and saying this cap ain't going to allow this city to run. I mean, that's something that on the state side thought it was a wonderful idea. People were hollering and screaming about it. It's like a gentleman who called me Saturday at 9:30 at night and said, "Mr. Simpson, I'm sorry to wake you up, but I've called the police. There's a break-in in my neighbor's house next door. And I've called, and it's been 3 hours, and no one has shown up."
3 hours?
To the extent the people went back in and got some more goodies. You know what I mean? And once they didn't see the cop was coming. So, I mean, you tell me, you know, what's going on. And people need to understand, taxpayer, that's why we elected a mayor. That's why you elected a city county council. And I think our Madam President will let you know that we're going to do our job. We're not going to allow what they did last year. Matter of fact, why didn't the mayor ask the Republican council last year to get rid of the homestead credit? He wants to do it on the Democrat dime?
We got several callers from worried city employees who are afraid to go on the air because the overpriced people that are paid to listen to this program, they're afraid they might have voice recognition software. They don't want to end up like that hotel. They don't want to end up like that hotel worker.
That's right.
So one of the questions is not only with the police and fire, what about the union of DPW? Has there been any kind of talk about, are they due a raise this year or rescinding their raises?
Yeah, it's my understanding that those folks are due a raise with this budget. And speaking specifically to the budget, we have county and folks who work in the county offices who qualify for public assistance. And so there is a huge discrepancy between those folks who make a lot of money and the folks in some of those county agencies that truly qualify for public assistance.
Wait a minute. Let me go back to DPW. You're telling me that under the contract DPW with AFSCME.
Yes, AFSCME.
Those hardworking employees are scheduled for a raise in 2013.
Yes.
How then can the administration tell the firefighters union, our hardworking firefighters, you don't necessarily get a raise? Our hardworking police officers, you don't necessarily get a raise, and it's in the union contract, and then allow the hardworking AFSCME workers to get one. That's a lawsuit ready to happen.
And that's definitely a question for the administration, but it's my understanding that the folks from AFSCME are due a raise with this budget.
If you are monitoring the program at the City County Building, please text the mayor and see can he answer that question. You can text me back at 85620 keyword Amos, 85620 keyword Amos, or you can if you got a text question, 85620 keyword Amos, or send me an email at praiseindy.com. Another question: can you take the mayor to court to get the paperwork? In other words, if it doesn't arrive Monday afternoon, is that a violation of the public records law? Is that a lawsuit ready to happen? You want to pray over that.
It's not so much pray over it, Amos. It's to the extent that, you know, you can ask for public record information and they'll send you this back saying that it can't be found. It's on a lost CD in somebody's file drawer.
I think the mayor accidentally took it with him in his luggage to China.
Exactly. But the point is, to the extent that I have contacted the State Board of Accounts to open an investigation on why we have not received the financial statements. And I was told by the person that I talked to, he said, that is the law, Joe. I said, well, I need for you to investigate it and find out why they're not abiding to the law. Now, going to court costs money and all that stuff like that. But you would think, Amos, that
we don't have any money.
And we don't have any money. You know he got us.
We're
in the hole.
All these rich downtown lawyers that have made money off the city, they ought to donate their time pro bono, carpe diem, and represent. Let me go to JL at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, Amos, I wanted to ask the question, what about the conflict of interest? We had Mr. Ryan, who said at the president of the city council, and now he's being paid and received a raise with the mayor's office, and isn't that a show of why there was so much, he was so demonstrative terms of trying to keep things derailed for progress, and now here he is being paid for his effort through the mayor's office.
Well, That's interesting.
At the time, he was Counselor Vaughn, but now Ryan Vaughn is the chief of staff for the administration, so they're really... I'm not going to say there's not a conflict of interest, but he is no longer on the council, and he is a paid employee of the city of Indianapolis.
Let me go to, before I go to Georgia, 239-1310, somebody sent me a text message, it wasn't from the mayor, at 85620, keyword Amos, said, you need to tax those who work here but do not live here, or many more, including me, may join them. I know you hear a lot of that, but that would have to go to the legislature.
Yes.
Yes.
What about, I didn't realize, and somebody told me this, and then I read it in the Star, the council could, and the mayor could approve legislation. You have authority to increase the local option income tax a tad.
Yes, we do have that option. You know, anytime we start talking about increasing taxes, people shy away from that. And so that is an option, but anything of... outside of Marion County, it requires us to go over to the State House. And at this point, we all know it's not favorable to Democrats.
Well, and Amos, you need to understand that most of the work that has been done around here in the city, the sidewalks, the streets, the new development that you see, most of these folks are coming from outside of Marion County, which means that they get our tax money and go back to whatever county they live in. It's like a home rule. I can guarantee you that we, as the taxpayers here in Indianapolis, have lost millions of dollars in which people, us who not working in this city, but the people who are outside the city, they're getting checks and they're taking those local tax dollars back to their local towns, and they're getting rich, are receiving cash based on us, Amos, who sit here and pay our taxes.
239-1310. Back to the phones. And George, hi there.
Hello, Amos. How you doing? You and your guests.
We're fine. What's up?
Amos, look here. One thing I think our mayor needs to do is start owning up to his failure sometime and stop relying on the regime before him. You know, he's always talking about Mayor Peterson, Mayor Goldsmith being in the red, but he don't ever talk about his own self being in the red. So he needs to own up to his responsibility. If you're doing good, good. If you're doing bad, own up to it. That's all to it. That's all I got to say.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Bill right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, my friend?
Fine.
hey, you know, you made Greg's career. He owe you that raise. And ask Tommy Brown, because the mayor been on his show for the last 3 or 4 years every second Saturday of the month. Thank you.
That way, that he owes me a raise? If he gives me a raise, I'll kick it back to our police officers and firefighters and DPW workers. 2-3... Not the people
too.
At the top of the DPW. Talk about the workers. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. We'll take a break. We're talking your budget. We'll also talk public safety. Oh, the Pacers just announced that they're getting a new scoreboard and they're going to fix up the TV studio and it's going to cost. And there is $16 million that they got. Where did they get $16 million worth of money? Is this something I don't know? Anyway, it's Afternoons with Amos after these. All right. Welcome back. 239-1310. In the midst, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. In the midst of everything, the city of Lawrence, you think Indianapolis got budget problems. City of Lawrence is $2 million in the hole, and that's like, I guess, $65 million in Indianapolis terms. And they're talking layoffs, which is not good for anybody. They're talking layoffs of police officers, firefighters, paramedics. And I think there's some people in Lawrence thinking, gee, Indianapolis, can't you all absorb the Lawrence Police and Fire? We're not in a mood, wrong word. We're not in a position to look at any more absorptions of fire, township fire departments at this point.
From where I sit, we are not in a position to take on anything else than what we have at this point. Right. Once again, we're looking at our officers not getting raises and not being able to do their jobs with the tools that they need. And so at this point, I'm going to say no.
Let me go back to the phones in Anonymous. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you feel?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, but here's a more serious situation that nobody took under consideration.
Okay.
More sporting activities that they bring to town, the more outside guests and that sort of thing, the more police and stuff they're going to need. So they're making a very serious mistake when they start cutting police's wages and talking about laying them off and this and that and the other. We should have seen the handwriting on the wall when they brought the safety guy in that he wound up $30-40 million short and then went back to wherever he came from grinning about it. So we need to be on top of it. It's going to be way more serious than it is now because people from outside that don't live here, when they come in to take whatever they're going to take, they not considering nothing about Indianapolis or nobody that lives here. They come to get a profit by way of hook or crook.
All right, good point. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. Somebody didn't want to go on the air, said, could the council raise the tax on hotels and car rentals again? Or is that off the table? Or is that got to go back to daddy at the state house?
No, that is actually an option. We could raise hotel taxes and auto taxes for rental car, yes, for rental cars. And so, I mean, that is an option that we need to consider. But right now, it's not on the table.
Last week, when this budget crisis hit, we said on this program that a lot of things should be on the table. You know, I said all travel should stop.
Mm-hmm.
If the mayor wants to go testify at a congressional hearing, he needs to pay for it out of his own pocket or find, you know, a corporate donor or let the chamber or somebody pay for it. The way he goes on his trips to China, Europe, and what have you, it's paid for by private sources, Develop Indy, and some others. I said they need to take a hard look at memberships. I also said that we as a city need to take a hard look at examining all of our parades, our marathons, the mini, the main marathon, all these little runs. We love them. We know they help charities, Expo, Classic, 500 Festival, the three races, all this motorcycle mess that's here this weekend. We understand that. But that taxes our police, that kicks in overtime. There ought to be some payment in lieu of those services and not a token $100 you know, permit fee. I don't necessarily want you to answer because that's a hot button political thing. But is this an example of everything needs to be on the table and discussed?
Yes, everything needs to be on the table and discussed. And when I just said that, the increase for the hotel and the auto rental was not on the table. Everything is on the table. That has just not been an option that we've discussed thus far. Mm-hmm. But everything should be on the table.
And the city should take responsibility for this. Is not our job to run the city. Our job is to manage and make sure that the city functions.
Are you surprised the administration didn't come up with options?
No.
Or in his budget address, the mayor saying there are a lot of things we need to look at, or even announcing the formation of a blue ribbon. It's almost like he doesn't feel this is a crisis. And I think the residents of Indianapolis feel it is a crisis.
Well, if you get the budget after the mayor, whatever he handed out, and then we were told that the first thing came to us was wrong, and they had to get it back to us again. We're sitting there as a city county council. Once again, we're the legislative body. We're the managers of this city to make sure that our tax dollars are distributed the inappropriate way that it benefits the taxpayers. And what we are finding out right now is that the mayor has gone out of town. He's got a serious crisis, and it is the city's job to tell us, Amos, what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. We got ideas of our own, mm-hmm. but we're not going to lay it on them until they tell us how to deal with this, because it's just what you say. There's a lot of things they need to bring forward.
So when
to
they
us.
Come to these hearings, you all want to hear what you're going to do to get it down. This, you know, right. The number you got ain't hip. It needs to come down further. It's like different strokes. What you going to do, Willis?
The message is very clear. If you come in before the committees, you need to be telling us not how you're going to plug this hole, but how you're going to deal with this hole in 2014, 2015.
239. Oh, somebody wanted to know, because the sheriff was raised in here. This must be an employee of the sheriff's department asking. What about the sheriff's department? Is there talk about cutting back with them or what?
So I just met actually with the sheriff's department, with the sheriff, with the chief of staff and the controller regarding the sheriff's budget. And so we're looking at their budget in great detail. At this point, we do know that the sheriff's department is facing a shortfall, and so they may get somewhat of an increase. The amount at this point, I'm not really sure, but the budget that was presented and discussed was, I believe it showed like a 7% increase in the sheriff's budget.
239-1310. And would that also include these payments, you know, if people charged with crimes are treated at Wishart?
Right. Yes. And so it addresses all of that.
Let me go to the phones. And Rose, hi there.
Hi, Amos and your guest.
Hi.
My first question is, how is it that you go this long without keeping a monthly account? And then you turn around at the end of this time of year, and he comes up with a budget that's short. What are all these people he's paying for? Who keeps up with the amount of money spent a month? How much comes in? When you get your monthly check, you make sure that you didn't overspend. How is they able to do this when you're supposed to be paying all these people? I don't know how many public servants they use. I don't know what the legislature is doing.
Rose, I'm ready to nominate you right now for city controller.
You should have came right after the mayor spoke. You should have been.
I'm
you should have.
No,
been,
we
I'm
know
serious.
You're.
I'm serious.
I worked a job before computers.
No. Let me say something. You are absolutely right on. It would have been beautiful for you to step right up to the mic after the mayor spoke and said exactly that. Because
I would like to talk to him, because something's crazy here.
Well, when he comes on Amos Brown's show, you make sure you call in.
When that happens, that means Hades done froze over.
I'm really serious. How do you have a person in a job that has no accountability monthly with the money that's coming in, and you wait a year before you say you are short on money? And how can you justify cutting the police and the firemen, who is our protection? Yet you want to put out all these raises to people who make like $60,000, and we're living off of $10,000 and getting our insurance and everything taken away.
Ma'am. It's what I say all the time, that a person that makes $15,000 a year can manage their budget better than this city.
We better, because we don't have anything else to do.
And the city should have that same approach.
Who is accountable for this? This is what I want to know.
It is the mayor.
I'm gonna listen.
It is the mayor and the council, and their hearings will start when? Theoretically,
well, the Monday.
They Mondays don't have a budget yet till Monday, but they start Monday.
Start Monday, first hearing.
All right, and what time?
5:30, City County Building, at room 240, I believe.
And who's up? What department's up first?
Ooh, that's a great question.
They're going to look on that.
I'll look up.
I tell you what, Rose, you got cable where you live?
I don't have cable. I don't have websites. I don't have anything because I'm living off of $10,000 a year and paying these exorbitant property taxes.
Yeah, God bless.
And you're probably one of the reasons we need to keep that county homestead tax credit on.
Every dollar counts. You have to pinch and pinch and pinch it. I can't understand.
Well, and that's the problem that the mayor, which I always said, that he doesn't get it. You know, people out here just like you, and I'm thrilled that you called in because more people like you need to speak up and say, this is how I'm living. I'm living by pennies, nickels, dimes. Like you say, I don't have cable. I don't have, you know, this and that. They're assuming out here that people out here can afford to give up $22 a year or $22 a month. Well, $22 is food. $22 is water bill. $22 is any kind of bill. So, Rose, I really appreciate you calling today.
Well, I wish somebody would give us some answers. It just amazes me that these many people would let a bill go, overpay, short, and not report it, and there's nobody accounting for it.
Well,
I'm going to hang up and let you get
all right, great points, Buzz. This is why we have the smartest talk show audience in the whole world. 239-1310. 239-1310 got an email. Amos, I don't think under any circumstances should the council sign off on this budget. Let this be an albatross around the mayor's neck, because if they sign off on it, they will for sure be blamed for the stinky details of the budget.
Yes, and so that's why it's important that my colleagues and I take a deep look at the budget. But then also, if we do not pass a budget, then we have to go back to the 2012 budget, and that's less money. But that is an option if we do not pass that budget.
So if nothing happens, if we have gridlock, we then would work off of this year's budget for next year.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, what you're doing is you're saying that the checkbook stays at the same amount for 2012. And if they don't give us the information, just what Rose said, we're asking for the same information she's trying to ask for. If they don't give us that information, I don't think we as legislators of the city county council can do anything else but put a hold on that budget in 2012.
Let me go to William, then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi, William.
How you doing, Abel?
I'm fine.
I'm doing pretty good, sir. I was thinking about this guy when he first came in his office, when there was asked, what are you going to do? The only answer that he had for the people of Indianapolis, well, I'm going to do something that is going to be different. And nothing is not different. It's just more of the same. You know, if before we cut police, firemen, and the emergency services, what we should do is make the moguls, the beer, the wine, and the whiskey moguls get up off of it. $5 a can, 25, 5 cent a can, 25 cent a bottle. And you have about enough to cover some of the expenses that the police, the firemen, and the emergency service have to deal with. We are in too much trouble right now to be even thinking along the line of cutting services of the emergency services. And that's what I have to say, Amos. And anybody that thought thinking along those lines is very foolish. Butch had a thing. That may not be foolish math, but it's fuzzy thinking.
All right, good point, my brother. 239-1310. 239-1310 is after news. Name says, we take a break. Somebody called and said, can we have a yard sale or barbecue to raise money for the police and fire department? Not a bad idea. One of the other things is things are on the table. Cory Booker in Newark has a foundation, as I understand it, that raises money from the business community to help augment his police department. And the pitch is, you want to keep crime down in Newark, you know, help put some money down to help me get. Is this something that maybe approach the FOP to approach the business community? Because the business community always wants to support our police officers and firefighters to have a foundation, and maybe then they can get the toilet paper in the police stations.
Well, they can't do it without their financial information.
239-1310. 239-1310 is after news with Amos. Also, when we come back, we'll ask the president of the city county council that since the mayor's too busy being in China to want to talk to the African-American community, maybe the president of the city county council can ask the mayor's chief of staff to come in instead, because mayor, chiefs of staff is just the same as talking to the mayor. Maybe the chief of staff can come on the program and hear the concerns of the community. Ryan's a nice guy. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. Speaking of that, we've invited next Tuesday the folks with IndyCan. They got some plan to reduce violence and want the city to come up with $500,000. Don't they know we're broke? But anyway, IndyCan will be here on Tuesday. Because here's the other thing. The Pacers are having a news conference as we speak, and the Pacers just announced they're spending $16 million for a brand new fancy pants scoreboard and a new sound system. And Jim Morris also, this is Twitter, got a note from Twitter that says that Jim Morris says they're going to be trying to renegotiate with the city to extend their lease beyond 2019. This is a tweet from Indy John Murray with the Indianapolis Star. Does the Pacers understand this ain't the time to tell folks you're getting a new scoreboard at $16 million?
I tell you, somebody has some money. Somebody's hiding somebody's opening up special. You know how your grandfather used to go underneath the bed and pull out the box and say, here you go, son. Yeah,
this ain't the time to get the new scoreboard. They need a new scoreboard. This ain't the time. 239, can they get a used scoreboard from somewhere? Scoreboards are us. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question. This may sound a little silly, but I'm just curious. Okay, you're saying that if you reject the budget for this year, then he has to go back. You have to use the budget for last year, correct?
For this year, for 2012.
Okay. Do you think maybe the mayor did this on purpose so that you can go back and use the one, because there may be something in the old budget that he really wants to put forward again? You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is smart audience. That's a slick audience.
That's a great question, but I haven't had any conversations with the mayor, so I really don't know.
Well, can they compare the two to see?
We can compare the two, but what happens is I would say that he would prefer us to pass this budget because there's more monies and dollars available in this budget. And so I can't see that he would really want to resort back to the 2012 budget.
But see, that's the point.
Yes, ma'am. I follow you.
Oh, wait a minute. If we're at an impasse and we go back to 2012 budget, that means even if there's more money in a local tax account, you can only spend what was authorized for 2012.
That is correct.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to go back.
Well, I mean, it's accountability, mm-hmm. You know, transparency. It's what we, the Democrats on the city county council, has been asking them for. Let us do our job. You're managing the city. Show us how you're managing the city. Show us. It's no different than when, Amos, you bring your paycheck home to your wife. She said, Amos, how'd you spend that money? And you come doing what you're doing now, laughing. And she knows that you done came up short.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. This is why. Yeah, City County, everybody's nodding their head. Yeah, they know. You know what? We all know what we're talking about. 239-1310. Back to the phone. This is serious business. Let me go to Greg. Hi, Greg.
Amos, how are you?
I'm fine.
Just wanted to, first of all, thank President Lewis and Congressman Simpson for all their hard work in keeping this administration's feet to the fire. I had a couple questions, and I'll take the answers off the air. First question is, how frustrating is it working with someone as incompetent and as inept as Ballard? And my second question is, I had heard that Fox 59 actually saw the budget before you did. If that's true, why was that? And I appreciate you taking the call, Amos. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't think any media have seen the real budget. The media was shown some PowerPoint slides, which if you go to our website, praiseindy.com, on the homepage, you'll see a picture of the mayor addressing the council on Monday night. We have linked what little information has been made public on the budget there. And then you will see how skimpy it is. With the budget the council president is talking about, what I'm talking about, is a detailed document that lists how much the city proposes to spend in every area, in every major line item for this year. It compares it with what was authorized to be spent for last year. What they estimate they will finally spend by the end of this year, and what they spent in 2011 and 2010. Mm-hmm. And it's all laid out.
Yes.
And this is what happens in real businesses, in real organizations. Even churches have budgets like this. It is that budget that that has not been made public in 66 hours. And now the council is saying they will not see it until Monday afternoon, a week after it was legally presented.
Yes. And I think that I have a high level of patience. And so Monday night, what a lot of folks saw for the first time was me really expressing my frustration. We need that information, and we need it ASAP. And we want to be a partner in this city, and we want to be able to do the jobs that we were elected to do. And to not to have that information is very frustrating, and it's just not fair to my colleagues and I, but it's not fair to you as taxpayers.
Let me go to, because a lot of people, a lot of residents really do want to actually see the budget, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, North Side or South Side. It's something they want to see. Neighborhood organizations want to see what's in there.
Well, you know, if you got Rose who called up and say, you know, what are you doing with the budget? You know, that tells you right there, Amos, there are a lot of people. One other point is they got $61 million from the state. Am I right, Madam President? It was like $61 million. On the hidden money, you know,
we hit the money the governor found.
Yeah, the money the governor found. And we don't exactly know. We know to a certain extent they're going to spend half of it in this budget this year. We don't know where the other half is going. Those are the examples. We need transparency to find out what are they doing with the money, where the money is, and how we can better manage this place. Because one thing for sure, staying at 2012, it will allow us to stop the expenses rolling forward that they want to do to make sure that we can put a hold on it and be accountable for it.
Actually, can I clarify that?
Yeah.
The dollars that we have back from the state are going to be used to plug in this budget. And we're going to spend down all – what was presented is that they're going to spend down all those dollars and leave $13 million in the rainy day funds. So this is going to be used to plug in this current budget.
Georgia will have the last word. Georgia, you got about a minute.
Hey, good evening, Brother Brown.
Yes, sir.
And to Smoking Joe Simpson and Miss Lewis.
Yes,
how
sir.
You doing?
I'm good, thank you, man.
Hey, look here. Didn't they send I read somewhere in the history book where they sent a man from Indianapolis prison back in the 30s. Not only that, they sent City County Councilman Powler to prison for corruption. They sent the mayor of Atlanta to prison for corruption. And they might as well get a jail cell for ballot.
Now, nothing.
That's the truth.
All right. On that note, see, this is another reason why the mayor needs to get his BEHIND from China here. And if he accidentally took the completed budget with him to China, FedEx works there. And FedEx will, you know, takes about a day for FedEx to go all the way from China right here to the FedEx hub here in Indiana. And I bet if they knew what it was, FedEx would have the super fast jet from China, bring the budget. That's probably where the budget is. He's got it, and he's kind of studying it, and he just accidentally took it with him. That makes sense, because everything else doesn't. Anyway, if you want more information on what is called the fiscal ordinance, which is the actual technical law that deals with budgets, one of the things it shows is how much money would be taken out of all these different tax funds and affects your tax, your property tax rate. You can go to indy.gov, click on City, County Council, click on Proposals.
285.
And it's proposal number 285. I'd have labeled it 000 myself or some creative 007, 1313. 1310.
Amos, I want to say this, and this is for the listening audience out there. I just want you to pray, because we're going to need prayer to get through what we got to go through.
And then also, I was wrong on the date. The first hearing is actually on Tuesday at 5:30, and it's the Mayor's Budget, Office of Finance and Management, Corporation Council's budget.
Tuesday. You can go talk, hear about the raises in the mayor's office, hear about the efficiencies in management and budget. It's City County Council, 5:30, or if you got cable, if you got Comcast, a Bright House, or UVerse, you can watch it on Channel 16. Anyway, maybe the mayor will be back from China or wherever it is he went by then. City County Council President Maggie Lewis, Councilor Joe Simpson, thanks very much for being with us.